Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Somebody left a comment on one of our radio station Facebook pages for one of our affiliates, and it was a great question. What's he flip-flopping for now? Why is he flip-flopping now? He's not running for re-election. He's not a U.S. senator. He got thrown out on his you-know-what back in November. So why is former Democrat Senator John Tester flip-flopping now? Why didn't he do something about men and women sports last year when he was actually up for re-election, when he was actually a United States senator who had a vote where he could have voted to protect women's sports? But he didn't. He actually voted to not protect women's sports. He was all in on the radical transgender agenda. So why is he flip-flopping now? Well, let's take you back a couple of weeks. Maybe it was last week. Charlie Kirk was sitting down. Charlie Kirk, the great conservative commentator, Turning Point USA, he was sitting down with California Governor Gavin Newsom. And Gavin Newsom flip-flopped. He was the first and latest high-profile Democrat to flip-flop on men and women's sports. And he was kind of getting hit by both sides because, you know, conservatives saw through the phoniness of it. And then his fellow Democrats were mad because, you know, you can throw women and girls under the bus all day long, but the transgenders, no, they are on the women's rights bus. There was a great cartoon one of our listeners sent me that had that. It was a school bus that said, "Women's rights, Democrat Party," and then transgenders on the bus, girls and women under the bus. So why is John Tester flip-flopping now? First, for those of you who haven't heard it, John Tester flew all the way down to Los Angeles to hobnob with his Hollywood buddies. He was on HBO's Bill Maher program and said this about Gavin Newsom's comments regarding men and women's sports.
In that statement, Gavin Newsom's 100% correct. We're talking about a very, very, very small number of people who, by the way, men shouldn't be playing in women's sports. It's a bunch of crap.
Oh, another Democrat saying it.
No, God bless. But the truth is that it is blown so far out of proportion that show me a guy who's playing in women's sports in Montana. I can't wait to see where it's at. Because the truth is, if it happened, it would be big, big, big news. Right. It isn't happening. And instead, we're talking about that, and Congress is acting on that, instead of acting on the issues that impact Americans.
Actually, they are acting on issues that impact Americans now that you've been kicked to the curb. Are borders getting secured? All's quiet on the southern border, according to CBS News. But he just did two things right there in that short soundbite. One, he pretended to stand up for women's sports while at the same time basically downplayed efforts to protect women's sports. So he's doing the old Tester two-step of saying, well, come on, yeah, men shouldn't play in women's sports, but it's not that big of a deal, so who cares? The other thing he did was he straight-up lied. This isn't happening in Montana. Do you guys remember the name June Eastwood from like 3 years ago? Riley Gaines tore into
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation here, you can also send us a message on the Montana Talks app. Especially our Montana legislators, our lawmakers. Hey, I know normally you get tied up in committee hearings and floor sessions and things like that while we're here statewide with Montana Talks here between 9 and 10 a.m. Now you're on a transmittal break, so you've got the next few days off. And we totally get it if you need to take some days off and take a total break. But if you're thinking, hey, now is the time I can call into a statewide radio show and tell people what we've been doing or what we need to be doing in Helena, hey, now's your chance. Give us a call, 406-294-0970. But, hey, those phone lines are open for you as well. So if you have a message you want some of those lawmakers to hear, then give us a call as well, because, you know, many of them will have the extra time to listen now since we are on the transmittal break here until Friday, I believe. But, yeah, June Eastwood. Some of you may remember that name. Some of you may not. June Eastwood was named Big Sky Conference Female Athlete of the Week. How, ladies, real ladies out there, not the ones who pretend to be ladies, but the real ladies out there, how big of an honor would that be for you to be named, not just to be on the team, to actually make a college sports team? That's a hard thing to do. You know, a lot of great high school athletes out there right now, and many of them, as good as they are in their high school sport, the likelihood of them playing in college is still pretty slim. And then the likelihood of them playing professionally after that is even more slim. And so think about how big of an honor it would be not only to win a track meet and get a trophy for that win, but to then be named the Female Athlete of the Week in the Big Sky Conference. June Eastwood is a man who ran as a man in high school in Belgrade, Montana, but then decided to identify as a woman while attending the University of Montana and was forced to be on the women's team and was named the Female Athlete of the Week. But what did John Tester just tell Bill Maher on HBO? This ain't happening in Montana. If this was happening in Montana, it would be big news. You're right, it was big news here on these radio stations. But do you think most of the TV stations and most of the major newspapers in the state saw it as big news that a man was stealing trophies and stealing recognition from women as the Big Sky Conference Female Athlete of the Week? No, because they were pushing the radical transgender agenda, and so was he. So why is flip-flop flat top sounding like he's flip-flopping, even though he's no longer in the United States Senate? I think there's three things going on here. One, well, first, one of our listeners, let's see, Betsy. I think Betsy's out in eastern Montana, if I'm not mistaken. Hopefully it's Betsy, who we got to see in Glendive on Friday night at BMT Eastside. Maybe a different Betsy. Could be Betsy from Glendive. I don't know. But she said, hey, Tester is trying to run for governor. So is Tester thinking that maybe he could have a shot at the open seat for governor 4 years from now? Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's thinking that. Although after his 8-point loss, it's that ain't happening. But maybe he thinks it could, right? Maybe, as Nancy and Roundup suggested, maybe John Tester is simply following his buddy Gavin Newsom down there in California. He was in L.A. after all, right? Maybe he's just trying to buddy up to California Governor Gavin Newsom, and maybe Gavin Newsom thinks he has a shot at the White House in 2028, and so John Tester's thinking, well, you know, maybe I could be a cabinet member. I was pretty jealous of Ryan Zinke because he was on President Trump's cabinet, so maybe I'd have a shot to be a cabinet member too. Yeah, it could be. Could be that. Or maybe, as Nancy suggested, he thinks he could run with Newsom. But I think fundamentally it's about grift. It's about lining his pockets and his ego at the same time. See, he gets to go down to Los Angeles, be on this TV show and say, look at me, look at how smart I am. And then he gets to keep lining his pockets by pretending to be this moderate Democrat, which he was not, which is why he lost in such a big way last November to Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy and now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. He has to look like he's smarter than the other Democrats, so they need to come listen to him. They need to pay him money, and they need to put him on their TV news programs. so that he can tell them how smart he is. I mean, look at the way he threw Kamala Harris under the bus on that exact same HBO program with Bill Maher over the weekend. This was actually what first caught my eye. Our friend John Jackson, the Joker from X, shared this in a tweet.
I think of you as not quite a radical Democrat, but you couldn't hang on to your seat in Montana.
Well, that's true, because there was more people that voted against me than voted for me.
I know that part of it, John. I'm just... but why? I mean...
Well, because if you want to know the truth, the top of the ticket lost by, what, 30-some points?
That's my point, yes.
That's right. And the truth is the top of the ticket has to at least be competitive if you're going to win in a red state or even a purple state. Mm-hmm. And the top of the ticket did not perform because I don't think the top of the ticket embraced the issues that Americans were talking about. We got wrapped up in all the cancel culture crap.
Yeah. And the identity politics.
So there he is, the bigger man. Blaming her for his loss, even though he was with her every step of the way on the radical left-wing agenda. We'll get to your phone calls next.
From Mondekistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. I'm glad Ken called back in. I tried to check in on Ken during the break, and nobody was on the line. We've got Ken from the Billings Heights. We'll get to here in just a second. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. First up, Reynolds in the Flathead. Hey, Reynolds, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning. I just woke up and I admit that I don't totally understand all the politics that goes into these bills, but Lucas Schubert, the 19-year-old House member here from the Flathead, he sponsored HB 709, which... it's supposed to make human smuggling illegal. And I'm assuming it's already illegal, but anyway, the bill was killed by all the Democrats partnering with 10 Republicans, including local politician Courtney Spryer. And so I wonder if you could help me understand why they voted against it.
Yeah, or maybe they're listening and can call in. So this was House Bill 709. Is that right? Did I get that number right?
That's my understanding, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me see. I'll pull that one, create the... Oh, it looks like Kathy Love was the sponsor of that. House Bill 709, create the crime of human smuggling. Yeah, I'll check out the text on that one. Or, hey, maybe one of those members. Yeah, this was introduced also by Lucas Schubert, as you mentioned, several others. Mike Vinton. And others. So, yeah, maybe they're listening right now and can tell us in their own words either why they supported House Bill 709 or why they didn't support House Bill 709 regarding human smuggling. I know our legislature has stepped up penalties and efforts to go against human trafficking in general, right? So I wonder what would have been different about this bill and what the pros and cons were for those who voted for it or against it. Appreciate the phone call, Reynolds. Thanks for calling in. Ken in the Billings Heights back with us now. Ken, what's going on?
Hey, I really appreciate you this morning. Say, there's a couple of things on my mind, and matter of fact, this gentleman just reiterated something I was thinking about. First thing I'm talking about is the wind farms. You know, Trump made a statement in his speech that he did, and he's going to do away with wind farms because they're killing the whales and the fish and the birds and everything else. And besides that, they're destroying our beautiful area that, you know, when you drive up there, you can't even, when you're by Judith Gap, you can't even see the mountains because of all them damn things, okay? The second thing is, and I was going to mention to you, you know, you talk about these people up in a Flathead. Well, I think they must be all related to Schumer and Pelosi and Shifty Shift. These people that are trying to, as far as I'm concerned, they're treasonous because they want to implement all of the stuff that the CCP is in favor for, and George Soros, which is sponsoring them now, even though he gave all his money to his son, which he's more even more radical than the father. isn't it about time that we start doing some arrests for these people, on these people?
Now, when you're saying these people in the Flathead, because the Flathead is one of the strongest bases of America First folks in the state.
Yeah, but they got so many Democrats up there, too, that you got to get rid of.
One too many, two too many, however many too many right now, especially because...
And then if you got Republicans voting for them, voting with those Democrats, then Republicans should be hung higher than a kite, too.
Well, the folks that I was wondering if you were referring to in terms of who's trying, you know, to implement this crazy agenda. I mean, remember this Valley Neighbors outfit that on their web, I checked their website myself. When we found out that there were illegal aliens crossing our southern border, showing up in New York City, and then being flown to Kalispell, Montana. Now, whether they were given this status or that status or whatever status by the Biden regime, we know that Joe Biden basically abused the refugee and asylee process, too, and just gave anybody. It was like Oprah. You get a car. You get a car. You get refugee status. You get asylee status, right? And so, but on their website, they openly said that they would assist migrants no matter what their status is. So they openly acknowledged that they would help with the trafficking of illegal aliens into the Flathead Valley. Boy, man, I'll tell you what, if I'm Tom Homan and Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, I'd be looking into that organization in particular. Say, oh, really? You are going to aid and abet the trafficking of illegal aliens in this country, huh? Well, maybe we need to have a little conversation with these folks. Appreciate the call. Ken calling in from the Billings Heights. The wind farms, you know, he was talking about wind farms. I had a great event in Glendive on Friday night for the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner, and it was interesting because I was talking with, you know, local folks there, and they had a lot of great local elected officials there that were in the house for the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner on Friday night as well. And it was interesting because, man, think how much money. You know, I was talking about flip-flop, flat-top John Tester. And there he is on HBO blaming Kamala Harris for his loss. You know, John, if you would have actually voted for the Keystone Pipeline when it actually mattered and actually gotten that across the finish line, if you would have listened to Jimmy Keene, a Democrat in Butte, and John Brendan, a Republican in Scobie, if you had listened to Jimmy Keene and John Brendan, you might not have lost your race. Remember when they told him, John, in a 50-50 Senate, you have all the power. You could force the Keystone XL pipeline across the finish line. But he voted against it when it mattered the most. It was so sad to hear that now, you know, one of the big items of contention in eastern Montana, they want to throw these wind farms everywhere. Weibo, Terry, Fallon, they want wind. There's groups and big interests that are pushing to build these massive wind farms out there. Now, I get it. We need the electricity, and these counties need the cash. The counties would have gotten the cash from the Keystone XL pipeline. And the skyline of Big Sky Country wouldn't have been covered up by a pipeline. You could still see that beautiful Big Sky Country. Pipeline could be buried under the ground or barely above the ground. And left millions of dollars in its path. But now they're saying, well, if you want the money, you have to take this massive wind farm. And apparently they're trying to put some of these in the same path where the pipeline would have been anyway. And so as there's now efforts to try to rebuild the Keystone XL pipeline, the concern is that if they have wind farms in the path, that could jeopardize the pipeline from actually getting built. And so just sad. When you think about all the impacts of the last 4 years and the damage that was done to this country. Let's go next into the phone lines. We got Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, what's going on?
Yeah, Aaron, I want to talk about the Boy Scout, but you brought up something about Zelensky and Tester. What do they have in common here? In my book of letters, Robert Kennedy wrote this, and I didn't agree with the Kennedys all the time. But he wrote this in one of his letters. All men make mistakes, but a good man yields when he knows his course is wrong and repairs the evil. And the only thing is, pride is a sin. So Robert Kennedy you know, I think his son should be proud of what he said there. And I think Zelensky and Tester ought to adhere to the same advice. So he should admit that he's not going to.
Wow, that Robert Kennedy, you gotta email me that quote. That was a great quote that you just shared. That's one I have to try to memorize. That's great. Thanks for sharing that. It reminds me of what Adam Carolla said about pride last week. Did you hear Adam Carolla's remarks, Chris?
No, I didn't on that one.
Oh, okay. I'll see if I can find it. Yeah, and then what was your main point?
All right, the main point was the Boy Scouts, the new leader, his name is Roger Crowing, I believe. And the trouble with this is that so the Boy Scouts cannot be you can't be exclusive anymore. You must be inclusive. So you gotta accept everything. And he's pushing this agenda for this year, even if it offends some people. So in no way can you show in the Boy Scouts now, if you're a leader like myself that I was way back in the 60s, You can't teach the Boy Scouts morals, so they can't have moral leadership. And yet, many of the military men were in that we admire. So you know, we're in the Boy Scouts of America. Oh, they point out some bad ones, sure. And every organization has bad things that go on. So you've got problems with moral leadership because you know you've got the Boy Scout oath. On my honor, I'll do my best to do my duty to God and my country. So you have to use the Bible in a sense, and ministers who go on some of these trips with the Boy Scouts, they should be teaching them morals if they go
And now they don't even call it the Boy Scouts. It's just the Scouts, right? Because in that way it's not, you know.
Scouts, and it's going to be all inclusive, so to bring this thing, agenda, slowly and gradually to destroy the Boy Scouts, which is destroyed, my opinion, anyway.
Or to just push any conversation of faith out of the public arena whatsoever. You mentioned that you see a similarity between John Tester and Vladimir Zelensky. I wonder if grift is that similarity. Is that what you saw as the similarity there, Chris, real quick before we run to our next caller?
You called it Zelensky. Didn't it sound like he was kind of bending?
I couldn't remember. I don't know if I mentioned Zelensky when I was talking about John Tester and the grift where he's. But I don't know. Unless I'm, who knows? half the time I don't even know what I said. We're just here having a conversation, and I'm so excited to hear what our callers have to say. So yeah, I don't know. I'll have to go back and listen to the podcast later. All right, Chris, great to hear from you as always. Speaking of Zelensky, Clinton Bozeman called in a message. He says, "Here's how we end the wars in Israel and Ukraine. Take all the leaders that want war, put them in a pen, give them a pencil, paper, and a knife, and then let them go. Let them go here. Will the pen be mightier than the sword, though, Clint? That's the question, right? All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Who do we got next up? Marilyn and Lolo first up right after this, and then Karen and Big Fork.
President Donald Trump signed two executive orders late last week postponing tariffs for products arriving from Mexico and Canada that are covered by a North American trade pact by a month, while lowering the duty to be applied to potash imports. Anything that was covered under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is exempt from the 25% tariffs until April 2nd, a White House official reports. That also includes potash fertilizer. There's still the 10% energy tariff referring to the lower duty applied to Canadian energy exports. The president has also decided to reduce the duty rate that will apply to Canadian potash after April 2nd to 10%. A senior administration official told reporters in the Oval Office that the decision was to protect American farmers. Around 38% of U.S. imports from Canada are covered by the USMCA agreement, while roughly half of those from Mexico are eligible, the administration says. South Dakota's governor has signed a bill prohibiting use of eminent domain from pipelines carrying carbon dioxide, throwing a wrench into Summit Carbon Solutions project to build a pipeline carrying liquefied carbon dioxide to a sequestration site in North Dakota. The new law injects uncertainty into the company, which includes 2,500 miles of pipeline through Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and the Dakotas that would carry the liquefied carbon dioxide from 57 ethanol plants. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund. Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, now I'm laughing. I got a one-word message from one of our listeners, and the one word was Mondakistan. Yeah, our producer, Caden Bjornstedt, put together some great new liners for this show that you're probably hearing. You're hearing a little bit of the music right now in the background there. And one of them now says, from Mondakistan to the Flathead. Of course, we were in Mondakistan border region Friday night. It was great to see Tim from Savage there at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner on Friday night as well. So many great folks from Miles City. The Patriot Roundtable crew was in the house. In fact, they got Gordon Chang, the China expert. Gordon Chang is going to be in Miles City in June. That's going to be incredible. Had some great listeners from Plentywood drive all the way down to Glendive just to come see us at the dinner as well. That was so cool. A couple of great ladies. We got a chance to meet, listening to KATQ right now as we speak. Poor Tim, he had to hear me do my Neil Young impersonation again. Old man, take a look at my... for the dinner on Friday night. It was almost as bad as Francis Collins, the former director of the National Institutes of Health.
Those canes, paddles, and ponytails didn't scare anyone. Try guitar.
Well, this is a song for all of those dreamers who are looking for answers to come.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to just cut it off right there. You don't want to hear another, oh, man. That was at one of those Never Trump protests. And that was the guy who was the head of the NIH. You wonder why we had such stupid policies in response to COVID-19. You can thank little banjo boy there, Francis Collins, Fauci, and the rest of them. All right, back into the phone lines we go. Marilyn in Lolo, listening to KMPT. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron, and all of Montana. So House Bill 316, we need to call the legislative hotline or email legislator Brandon Lear. We're hoping that he will bring House Bill 316 to the floor to have it voted on. That's the personhood bill, and I think it's high time. I mean, gee, you wonder why. I mean, we need to declare the baby, the preborn, a person. Yeah, I guess we have to, because these days too many people think it's okay to murder them. But anyway, so House Bill 316, personhood. Brandon Lear. It was voted out of House Judiciary Committee over a month ago. So, after the transmittal, they need to bring it to the floor. And let's see who doesn't think the baby is a person.
You know, that's what happened. On that front, did you see the debate and the discussion? There was a bill, I think it was Representative Courtney Sprunger out of the Flathead, had a bill that would basically... Okay, so right now, if the father of the baby, if the father of that person is paying child support, the child support doesn't start until after the baby is born. But, you know, as a woman, for women who've been through pregnancies, I almost said as a woman, I wasn't pulling a tester thing there. For women who've gone through pregnancy, like, there's a lot of expenses and things that incur before the baby is born, throughout the whole process, right? And so it was a bill that would, and it was supported by, you know, pro-life groups and everything, that would basically, that would also require child support during the pregnancy. And now pro-life groups supported it for obvious reasons, but apparently some Democrats even supported it early on, until they quickly got bullied by the Planned Parenthood lobby to say, hey, if you allow for child support payments before the baby's born, you're acknowledging that there's already a life there. So then the Democrats got bullied by the Planned Parenthood lobby to pull their support from it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Planned Parenthood is guilty of a lot of things. I don't know why they are even in existence. They should be behind bars, most of them. Body part sales, and I mean, there's so much we could talk about on that issue, on that front. Well, a dad should have the right to say, no, I want my baby to be born. Instead, I think the left has used the pro-life issue to, you know, men have not had to take responsibility for the life that they make. And I think that should be a deal.
All right. Well, Marilyn, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406, and that bill is House Bill 316. Yeah, I was talking with Henry Kriegel from Americans for Prosperity Montana earlier, and since they had the transmittal deadline Friday, bills had to get passed at least. The idea was basically that, okay, if a bill didn't get across the finish line before Friday, then it was dead for the remainder of the session. You can still bring something back for a vote. It just, these non-revenue bills, it's just a higher threshold. It's much harder to bring a bill back after the transmittal deadline. But even Henry mentioned, he said, well, with the school choice bill, House Bill 320 in particular, there may be another placeholder bill that will allow for the speaker to pull that back to the floor and revive that one. So, you know, maybe the same thing could happen here with 316. So, Marilyn, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, we've got Karen in Big Fork. Karen, what's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. This is kind of a prosaic topic, I guess. But early on in Biden's reign of terror, Lane Nordlund, I know on your show when you used to broadcast that farm and ranch portion, clued us in on the fact that In all the farm and ranch stores, a significant number of veterinary animal products, such as injectable penicillin, but it covered a huge gamut of items, was going to be rescinded for sale in these stores, and you had to go to a vet for it. And this affected ranchers all over Montana. It affected, you know, people. I mean, if you have like one or two little animals, like a lot of the people who moved here apparently have, that it doesn't. You can just go to the vet for everything and pay $600, but if you're somebody like me, if you have over 30 animals, I used to have mobile vets come out decades past, you know, but that's at least here in the Flathead, that doesn't happen anymore. They have all of the veterinary places, they serve you lattes and they charge you a ton of money, and it doesn't work when you have a lot of animals. I do most of the vet stuff myself, and I've contacted all the farm and ranch stores in the Flathead, some in the Mission Valley and stuff. And there's just a number of things just you haven't been able to get since, like I said, early on in Biden's regime. And I contacted, Wayne Nordland's site, and I even called Brooke Rollins' office, the new Secretary of Agriculture and stuff. But this is it's a huge deal.
I wonder if is it because of the inflation and the inflationary impacts that
they wanted you to be, a lot of these products, like I said, I'm using it like injectable penicillin for like cows, sheep, horses, all these things. There's a whole big, broad number of items that they took off the market that you could no longer buy. You couldn't do the veterinarying at home.
Because they didn't want people using ivermectin because they didn't want you doing stuff like that.
The yield of ivermectin. Exactly.
Yeah, so they said, oh, well, let's take away a number of these other tools because people might figure out what they can do on their own and much more affordably. No, that's very interesting. Thanks for getting that one back on our radar, Karen, and throwing that one out there. Yeah, because like I say, with the new Trump administration, it's like having a new boss, and the new boss is saying, what do we got to do to make our country great again? What do we got to do? Like, what are some of the stupid, Adam Schiff things that have been happening these last 4 years and that our federal government or that our federal government's been doing for the last four decades, frankly, that needs to be done away with? And how do we fix it? And boy, they've got a lot of work on their hands, but man, they are getting a ton accomplished already. That reminds me, did you guys see, I had it pulled up. I was almost going to mention it earlier, but I think I just lost. Did you guys see? I'll go back into Facebook here because that's where I shared it, facebook.com/Flint Report. Did you see this crazy news over the weekend? The Secretary of Agriculture had to make this decision because they were using U.S. Department of Agriculture funds to fund this thing. You know, earlier we were talking about how, John Tester was once again trying to provide cover fire for the radical transgender agenda. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins, this is according to FoxNews.com, has canceled a $600,000 grant for a study on menstrual cycles in transgender men. A study on menstrual cycles in transgender men. And this was being funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture? I'm sorry, but I may disagree with the radical transgender agenda. You know, like Zoe Zephyr. You do your thing, bro. Right? You're a grown adult. You do your thing. But when you start going after the kids and you try to chop body parts off of kids, that's where we draw the line. But here's the thing. I've never called Zoe Zephyr or any of these transgender activists, at least that I can remember, animals. Although it's pretty wild what they're trying to do. Why was this an agriculture department study? Was the Biden regime basically calling them animals? Anyway, we'll get to the phone calls next.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a couple of messages on the Montana Talks app, and then we'll get to, we got Carl DeVries and Roberts next up on the phone lines. Greg in Big Fork says this. You know, ever since that illegal immigrant bust in Big Fork, there's another project here in the Flathead. Since that bust, that project has been pretty quiet. So that's kind of interesting from Greg in Big Fork. He says, secondly, I'm glad House Bill 647 got tabled in committee. And I'm also glad that the stupid bill Protect the Guard failed on second reading. Those are not common sense. That was from Greg in Big Fork. A listener in Billings sent me a flyer for an event that took place over the weekend. I was at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan Day dinner on Friday night. So, no, I did not make this event on Friday night. Apparently, Montana for Palestine had an event at the Monte Bar and Casino in Billings on Friday night. Montana for Palestine had Drag Bingo. Drag Bingo, a fundraiser for Palestinian families. So this listener in Billings says, did you make it to the Drag Queen Bingo in support of Palestinian families at the Monte in downtown Billings? I'd like to know the turnout. I did not make it to that event. I'm just hoping it was not the full Monte. For the Drag Queen Bingo for the Gays for Gaza event there. Yeah, did not make that one. I was with some great folks in Glendive. Let's go to Carl DeVries next up on the phone lines in Roberts. Carl, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you, Aaron. So I was just curious. I got a couple questions for you. You know what the power source was in the early days, the 1700s, 1800s of this country?
Well,
it was water wheels.
Yeah. Just water in general, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, but water wheels powered all their grain mills and all that. We have gotten away from a basic form of energy that is almost perpetual energy. It's flow-through non-consumptive, and yet they want to build these windmills that are dangerous or bad for our environment, especially when they have to bury them when they're done with them. I don't know why there's not more talk about water wheels.
Well, yeah, hydro and water. You know, it's funny you bring that up. I remember I was in Afghanistan, and you know, usually you didn't see, you know, much in Afghanistan. It was a pretty barren place, right? Pretty meager existence. One little village we walked through, I was like, holy cow, like they have a water wheel, just like what you were talking about. They even had like honeybees there and their fruit. I was like, wow, that village really has their, you know, Adam Schiff together. Random memory there, but just hydro in general. Well, remember when there was all this push about renewable resource mandates? The Democrats wanted to exclude hydro, the best, you know, one of the best forms of renewable energy, and they wanted to leave hydro out of it.
It was crazy.
It was crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's free energy way more reliable than wind. That water runs 24 hours a day.
Or you can hold it back and save it for when you need it. And then, I mean, look at Yellowtail Dam and look at the incredible recreation resource that is on both sides of the dam. You got the reservoir and the lake behind the dam, and then you got one of the best trout fisheries on the Bighorn River on the other side of the dam. It just makes damn sense, right? Doesn't it? Carl, thanks for the call. Hey, by the way, Carl, I want to get your take on those water bills that you and I discussed. I know we're short on time today, and I got a caller in Terry I got to get to next. But Carl, give us a call back, because I want to hear the status of those water bills that you and I discussed a while back, to see if those made it through before the transmittal deadline or not. But first, let's go to Lon and Terry talking about these wind farms out there in eastern Montana. Lon, what's your take?
Yeah, there was a bill to have decommissioning bonding, and this bill was put by Senator Bob Phelan. It was 160,
yeah,
and it got tabled. And the idea behind it was that bonding for decommissioning would be mandatory at the time the wind turbine was built. And this is the way it is on federal land. If you put up a wind turbine on federal land, the bonding has to be right away. But state law says that you only have to bond after 15 years. And we were hoping, I'm a member of a small committee in Prairie County for the county, and we were hoping this bonding bill would go through, because the windfall in property tax revenues can be significant. But if the county gets stuck with these abandoned wind turbines, we're in big trouble. And if the federal government subsidies go away, wind is an absolute disaster economically. So
we require it for other forms of energy. We require bonding for other forms of energy. I mean, coal, they got to pony up before they can do their coal projects. So why shouldn't wind have to do the same?
Well, the lobbying by environmental groups and power companies to not have any bonding on wind turbines was incredibly intense. And the committee tabled Senator Phelan's bill due to this intense lobbying to not have decommissioning bonding on wind turbines.
Oh, there's so much massive special interest cash behind these things. But, yeah, a lot of people are opposed to them, especially out there in eastern Montana. We like our big sky. In the big sky country, don't we? Rick in Glendive just called in. He says, remember a few years ago when all the windmills froze up in Texas? Eric Moore says, you can still get ivermectin over the counter, plus some of those other things. You just need a script from your local vet.